Well, I'd like to get started tonight, and I'd like to welcome everyone to the PBS Success Mentor teleclass tonight with Success Mentor Chris Tempert, who will be discussing the art of allowing. And this is an excellent topic as we're coming up to the new year. We've just finished off the holidays, more or less, Thanksgiving, and now the Christmas or Hanukkah holidays. And so now we're heading into the new year, and I think that Chris tonight is going to be able to share with us some very important tips. But before we get started, I'd like to introduce myself as well. My name is Vidya McNeil, and I'm also a PBS Success Mentor, and I work closely with Paul Check, both in the PBS program and in his various other businesses. And I will be your hostess during tonight's program. Our usual host, James Phelps, is away on vacation as well, and so that's why I'm stepping in tonight. On a personal note, I'm very pleased to welcome Chris to the call tonight. She's a very accomplished holistic coach and fitness professional. For those of you not familiar with Chris, she has completed the highest training possible of all the courses that Paul and programs that Paul has designed, and she has really made a very big accomplishment for herself. Not only has she completed all of the Czech trainings, Czech practitioner and orthopedic trainings, the holistic health coach trainings, the PPS trainings, she has also gone on and she has studied with John McMillan, and she's also completed a training in New York. And I think that was with, with Michael?
Stephen Robinson.
At the Psychic Institute in New York City. And there she has really refined her skills as a psychic and a medium. So with that, I'd like to welcome tonight Chris, and welcome to you, Chris, for joining us and for sharing your beautiful self with us all, and I'm very excited to get started.
Well, thank you, Vidya. I deeply appreciate your words and your experience of me. Thank you so much. It's been just an absolute privilege growing through the PPS program, and it has opened doors for other programs as well. And, you know, I don't think we ever really get it done. It's just such a joy to continue to expand and grow. And anyway, what I wanted to talk about first before I start with the listeners to this call is that it's important tonight that everyone understands that what I'm sharing is simply my experiences of my own growth and my own journey per se. I don't really want anybody to believe what I say. I don't want anybody to be a believer in a sense, because belief is a very toxic thing. So I'm hopeful that when people hear my words, they'll just listen for whatever they can get from it, and be kind of like seekers for themselves, so that maybe something that I'm sharing can just be an indication of what they may experience, because what they're going to experience is certainly not what I experienced. We're all so very unique and so different that you need to be like your own detective. And so please just take what I'm going to share tonight, because it is a very powerful subject, the art of allowing, and just know that it's just my own experiences, my own expressions, and that these are things you need to seek and discover for yourself. So how I like to start it out, it's like, you know, I'm on the path, and anybody that's going to listen to this call is on the path, and so what we're going to do is we've just met on the path, and we're going to light a little fire, and we're going to sit around it, and we're just going to share the experiences that we've had while we've been out there on the path of searching for ourselves. And the art of allowing is, you know, this is tricky business here, and it's a tricky topic, and there was a part of me that was like, wow, are you really going to talk about that? But you know what, a year ago I wouldn't have even been able to talk about it at all. But I've had the pleasure of having a deep experience, and basically drove my car off a cliff. So I think I understand it now well enough to convey to others. So if I were to start with just the idea of, you know, what does it mean to allow? Basically, for me, it's just surrender. It's a maturity, if you will. It's finding your place in human potential. It's what I think Jesus referred to as the kingdom of heaven, because when you find this place of allowing things to be what they are and not what you imagine in your mind how it should be, it's a very peaceful experience. And, you know, the present moment is very, very powerful. And I think that's why it's so hard to stay there. And I'll get to that in a minute. It's just that the present moment, in a sense, is kind of like, it's more fun than you can imagine. It's like, kind of like going into a fun house. And, you know, you don't know what you're going to expect. You're all excited, and you certainly are present in that moment because you don't know if somebody's going to jump out and scare you or if air is going to blow up in your face or something, you know, just whatever you don't expect. And that's what the present moment is like. The reason why the present moment is so scary is because at any moment somebody could come out and tell you what a jerk they think you are or what a failure you are and you're not doing this good enough and I hate you and you're ugly and you look terrible in those pants. And this is the stuff that we don't want to face. And that's what makes the present moment, in my opinion, really scary for people. But it's basically a letting go. It's a place that when you can get there and let go of just needing to control everything, it's just such a peaceful, you know, it's a place you just find yourself. And it is hard. You know what? This is so very difficult to put words to. It's really impossible to try to explain what it feels like to be in the moment all the time. And, you know, it's the words let go sound so easy. You know, if you were holding a rattlesnake in your hand and I said, let go, you would think, well, that wouldn't be too difficult. You know, I probably wouldn't need to explain myself or say it very differently or make hand signals or draw you a picture. You know, you probably would get it. You know, if I said let go, you'd probably let go of the rattlesnake. But the reality is most of us don't realize we've been holding a rattlesnake. You know, once you've been bitten a few times, you get kind of numb. So you don't even realize you have an issue and you don't even realize you're not letting go. You're just so busy living in what you want life to be rather than what it is. I hope that makes sense so far, Vidya. I always have a hard time talking into the phone because there's like nobody around me, and it's just emptiness.
Let me ask you. Let me provide some reflection to what you just said. What I really
appreciate that.
Say that is, you know, allowing is really the process of surrendering, and for you, you've had personal experience yourself being in the process of surrendering and allowing your life to just unfold, and part of that is been being able to recognize those areas of your life where you've held on to things maybe too tightly, and the words that you used were control. And when I was hearing you speak, I was kind of smiling to myself because I really could see myself too, you know, in the same way. Life is this journey, and we're confronted at certain times of our life, right, where we don't want to let go. We just don't want to let go, and it's not easy. And so when you talked about, you know, letting go and allowing being the surrender of maturity, I went, you know, to myself. I thought, how beautiful. What a beautiful image, you know, that it's not like ripping away, you know, like a scab or something. It's the maturing, so it's allowing that scab to finish scabbing over so it can just drop away naturally.
Well, yeah, because the reality, for me, I should say, I don't believe there you can allow. I don't believe that it can be done. I think it's something that has to happen. I think that at some point in all of our lives, we are all faced with a situation that slips away from us no matter what we do, that no matter how we try to change it, we can't. Whether it's somebody dying or a relationship and somebody, you know, doesn't want to have a relationship with you anymore, or a job that you get fired from, or just something occurs that you have absolutely no control from, no matter how you try to cling to that. And the trick is to just be aware that that's happening rather than immediately clinging to something else that makes you feel good. Because it's being present with that emotion, it's being present with the helplessness that helps you, it's a doorway to your entire life. And, you know, this is tricky business, like I said, because, you know, the divine parent was so brilliant because everything is a paradox. Everything has an opposite end. So, you know, whatever I say isn't true because there's a contradiction that is equally as true, if that makes sense.
It does, but I can really appreciate the paradox. But you just said something that touches my heart, and that is being present with helplessness. And, you know, who wants to be present with their helplessness? And yet, that's the trick.
Well, you know, and it's not our fault. Because, you know, this is what you and I were chatting before you started the recording about children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, here we are in life today. We've got all these spiritual people around us. The law of attraction, this and that. It's all good. Be happy. Everything's perfect. You can't make a mistake. Well, there's a paradox to that.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have a corpse laying on your living room carpet and take a Post-it note and throw a happy face on it and stick it on the corpse and go, yeah, now it won't stink. It's good now. You know, yeah, granted, when we are in that place of growing and in our immaturity, you know, we can't make a mistake, A, because the mistakes are where we get our greatest lessons from. But, you know, the point is you want to get to that place of complete awareness in the present moment where you truly can't make a mistake because the awareness is so sharp, it's not possible. So that's the paradox in a sense. But we are really, all of us, in the beginning of our lives, we are developed and grown and raised from the idealistic mindset, which really just fills us up to a place of anger and sadness and resentment, self-loathing, self-consciousness, jealousy, competition. And it's not really anybody's fault. It's just something that's been going on for thousands of years. So it's very powerful. So when we're trying to paste the smiley face on ourselves when all we are is anger unexpressed and shame-filled, it's not possible. So we become phony. We become imitators. You know, how are you doing today? I'm terrific. Everything is really great. It's all good. It's all good. Well, you know, it's not good. And you're not good. And you're really angry inside, but you're not expressing it because society says, no, that's wrong. It's wrong to express anger. This is the way life is lived. You do this, that, this, that, this, this. You go to school, you get your degree, you get married, you have kids, you have another kid. You're going to have another kid? Okay, after that, you put them through college. Da, 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 da. There's a right and a wrong. There's always a right and a wrong, and it's a set place. So everybody is so busy trying to fit in and trying to have people like them because, you know, as little kids, what did you hear when you were a little kid? How many times have I told you not to do it? You don't listen to me. Can you just give me a break? You know, I'm sick and tired of every time I turn my back. What the heck has gotten into you? You're never going to succeed that way, and on and on. You can already see it. You can already feel it in your body. You're looking around going, oh, look at that little bug on the wall. Wow, just look at that. Is she still talking? Yep, still talking. Okay, well, I'll just look, you know. And it becomes, you learn how to resist allowing. You can't help it because you're you know, parents, they have kids. They bring them in their house, and what do? They say, well, we're not changing anything, doggone it. This is our house. The kid will have to adapt. Don't touch that stereo. Stay away from that. You could fall down those stairs. The kid can't do anything right. It's no, 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 no. Everything you do is wrong. So by the time you're 12 years old, your ego's crystallized, and you know what? You're just misery, but you don't know it. So yeah. That's why, you know, it's funny, the Christmas season. Everybody's so miserable when you have to go to the store. God forbid you've got to go out for that last minute item. You know, you forgot something. You just have to have it, you know. And you can feel the stress and the anxiety. And in my opinion, you know what that anxiety is about? That doggone it, this is one holiday we're supposed to be loving. And we're supposed to have, and where's the Christmas spirit? And this holiday just has to be perfect because everything else is just so miserable. And you just need it to go right. And then everything ends up going to hell because you're not right anyway, and the mm-hmm. relatives and the fighting and the this and that. So, you know, it's like, you know, really what we're all yearning for, really the burning desire, this emptiness we have inside us. And until we mature, you know, the emptiness is really very serving. You know, Paul talks about the white and the black dragon, the dualities, you know. You can't have the white and the black dragon together. It's not possible. They have to be opposites. And as long as we're filled with all these things and beliefs about ourselves and self-consciousness and all this other stuff, we're full. We feel the empty, but we don't like it because it's like that's weakness, that's emptiness, that's loneliness, that's death, that's scary. Don't go there. But you can't merge with the emptiness of the surrender of the present moment when you're full. So it always stays opposite of you. It has to. So you can be happy and put all your positive quotes you want and get your fancy calendars and have inspirational pictures and do all this other stuff, but you're never going to meet. You can't merge with emptiness full. It's not possible. So those of us that, you know, there are some people out there, Vijay, there really are, I believe, that when they get information on how to let go of controlling and how to embrace the love that they are and their consciousness, when they hear all these things, some people, honest to God, I believe they can just do it. They can just drop the snake right there and say, you know what, that's it. I'm done with it. I'm good. But most of us, I believe, you know what, we can't.
Think most of us really struggle with, you know, that process. And I'm hoping that you can address that process and so that you can help me be able to be more conscious as a spiritual being living in this human body. And when I am confronted with, like, the scenario that you just painted, like running out on Christmas Eve, there's just one more item. I really want to get this one item.
Got to be perfect.
Perfect. And I know I'm going to own it, and I am a perfectionist. And so because I'm a perfectionist, I'm also a control freak. So, you know, part of that gives me a sense of efficiency to be able to control and to do this and that. But on the other hand, you know, my mind says, well, that's an illusion. So how can I be a better person and actually learn how to flow and allow and not get myself all tied up in knots?
Well, that's a really wonderful question. And thank you for asking, because I love questions on these calls. And it's a complicated answer. So if you would allow me to just start with one bait, what I believe, and again, my belief, and my feeling, I should say. I won't use belief because that is a bad word. For me, the center of a human being is not love. For me, the center of our core self is freedom. What we seek most than anything is that freedom to be self. So for me, that part is the main energy source, and what surrounds that is love. Mm-hmm. But these two things, they have to be together. You can't have one without the other. And so the trick is that we always want one without the other. And what happens is somebody that will seek love, for example, and I will get to your question. I just have to start it this way.
Okay.
People that seek love, they're very loving, and they end up living very loving, filled, beautiful lives. And they do for other people, and they serve humanity. But love is bondage. And when love comes without freedom, that means that you sacrifice what you really want to do for love.
Yeah.
And then when you go the other extreme, when you go after freedom, which is really what you want, that's the person that walks up into the mountains and hides in a cave and says, you know what, screw humanity. I did so much for people, and they didn't recognize me, and hell with them. And I don't need them, and I got everything I need, goodbye. So the trick in life is to find this place of freedom and love. And the only way we really get there is to let go of the need to be a control freak, to let go of that need to be in control. It has to be a surrender. But again, as I shared, I really don't believe it's something you can create. I think it's something that just happens. I think you just have to get yourself so sick and tired of being sick and tired that you let go of it. And now when you said to me, give me some tools I can use to help me more aware in that moment when I'm a perfectionist. And I certainly can offer anyway what is true for me and what works for me. And, you know, I have been so blessed lately with some amazing healing experiences that I've had simply by having conversations with other people and then using this tool on myself. But people think that their thoughts are these key indicators for how life is. And granted, Paul always says, you can say what you want, but your body doesn't lie. And I'll tell you, I believe it's also true when it comes to your thoughts. You can look around at reality and think however it should be, but the reality is what you're experiencing is exactly what you're believing and what's in your mind and what's in your focus and what's your vibration, basically. And that's tricky business. That's a tightrope itself to walk down that place. But when we get to this place where you're feeling the need to control, you're feeling the need perfectionism, whatever, you're feeling angry, you have to sit down with the emotion right there. The anger that you're feeling in that moment really has nothing to do with that moment. The feeling of being a perfectionist in a moment, when something comes up in your present moment, and you're like, you know what, that's got to be perfect, and I'm going to do it perfect, and I'm going to make sure it's right, and I'm going to push everything out of my way to make this right. If that's something that is truly something that you would like to get a handle on, then you have to sit with the emotion that you're feeling at that time. What is it about this experience that is making me feel that I need to be a perfectionist? What am I feeling right now? Why do I feel like I need to be perfect? Why do I have to prove myself? When have I felt like that before? So that's when we have to break out one of those spotlights they use when they open the mall downtown. And we have to shine it back into our past and try to consciously bring our conscious awareness to a place. Why does it have to be perfect? Because you're not perfect. A dog is perfect. You're not. You can't be. You don't want to be perfect. You want to be imperfect always. You want to always be inconsistent. You don't always want to have a happy face on. You don't always want to have the same demeanor when somebody meets you, because that's not real. That's just phony. You need to be authentic, and not everybody is happy in the moment. It's okay to be in a place where maybe you're tired or maybe you're frustrated, and that's okay. Be authentic. Be who you are in that moment. But the need to be the perfectionist may come from something else. So you have to be, and you know, this is the tricky part, because remember when I shared the words, you kids, you can't get this. It's so shaming. But as children, you know, we do silly things. We set garbage cans on fire, and we pull the cat's tail, and we let the dog out of the house, and it might run into the road and get hit by the car. We're children. We don't know. We just do things out of total innocence, out of exploration. The world is brand new. But the parent is exhausted, and the constant care of a child is exasperating. And so you say things, and you know, and you know, this is why it's hard to go to that place, because nobody wants to face that shame again. But it's the shame isn't real. As an adult, when you go back and experience whatever you were feeling, it's very different as an adult. But you have to validate that part of you that experienced something. You know, if a child walks into the house and they just were bullied, say a child just pushed them off their bike and said, "I hate you," and they walked in the house crying to see their mother, and mom just dropped a hot plate of cookies all over the floor and burned her hands because she forgot the plate was hot. In that moment, the interaction takes place. The child comes into the house, and the mom drops the cookies, burns her hands. She's in pain, the child's in pain, and nobody can be there for either one. And in that moment, the child's like, wow, I'm not enough. My mother wasn't there for me. And it's childish stuff. It's how a child thinks. It's not true. The mother was having a perfectly understandable moment. So it's amazing, because what we're so fearful to go back and experience, when we have the courage to do it one time, you start laughing at yourself, because you know what? You know, you validate the kid and how that felt. But as an adult, you learn to reparent yourself, because, you know, the other thing, you know, like I talked about, like I said, you have to be in a situation where you can't control it, the surrender, the helplessness. But you also have to learn another very, very painful lesson in life, and that is you cannot get from another person what you need. If you have a relationship that ends without closure, or a misunderstanding with a child where you don't speak, you know, you can't get from them. And it's a very frustrating, and another place where you have to realize, wow, the only way I can find healing, because you need healing. We're all loving beings. We're beautiful beings. We don't want to hate. We don't want to have any of that nonsense in us. So, you know, we have to learn to heal ourselves. So we create inside ourselves new parents. So when you think you need to be a perfectionist, say, for example, you look back and you go back and you see somewhere in your childhood, well, you know, you're just a girl. You're no good at that. Your brother or your cousin is going to be much better than you because he's a boy and he can think better than you. You know, whoever might have said it, it could be something as innocent as that. So then what happens is you get a new mother and father inside, and the mother gives you a hug and the father says, "Hun, you're the greatest, and I value you so much, and you don't ever have to worry about what anybody thinks about you, because you've got me, and I need you now in my life to grow so we can all grow together and find ourselves and be happy." and be happy in who we are. Really, that's all it is. You know, just getting into a place of allowing self and growing into self doesn't mean that you won't experience unhappy. I mean, that's just stupidity. What it means is that your whole life isn't based in misery. Of course you will feel sad if somebody you love passes away, or God forbid, one of your own children gets very sick. Of course you experience it, but it's a different experience. It's not the same. It's richer, you know, and life is all, you know, we're to embrace all the emotions. All anybody wants to experience is happy, and that's why, that's the other reason why we get so lost, because we're in a world filled with beautiful emotions. You know, there's nothing wrong with boredom. It's fun to experience boredom. Anger grows into compassion. You know, jealousy grows into respect for self. Everything has a gift, but you miss the gift if you're not brave enough to go and sit with anger, sit with shame, and just embrace yourself with it privately. And, you know, all this work can be done privately with yourself, but you do need other people to help guide you to these places. And, you know, it's amazing that, you know, there should be 10,000 people on this call. The PPS program is so beautiful because the lesson one and two are all based around these things. And there's so much on here for free. I mean, it amazes me. You know, you can come in and hear these calls and click on Paul's blog and read articles, and there's just so much here. You know, but again, it's hard to be in the idealistic mindset, which is like, you know, what we really need is the vaccine for that. The hell with the swine flu, you know. We need the vaccine against idealism.
Well, I like that idea a whole lot. I think the key thing that you said to me that really, I think it's the tricky part is being able to sit with your own compulsions or your own emotional stuff. And I think for most people, that's really the most difficult work of all. First of all, we all have our blind spots.
And, oh, well, absolutely,
and
yeah.
And in those blind spots, we have denial. So even though I might be able to rationalize, well, I'm efficient because I can organize well, and yes, I'm a control freak, but I know when to let go and when to allow, when this. But the truth of it, if I sat with this really honestly and sat with it and I was honest with myself, the honesty says, wait a minute. I mean, it can't be that easy to just sit there and just stew in your emotion about it. And then you'll come out the other end and be able to let go and allow. So maybe you can help me through that little process.
Well, I do hear those words, and I appreciate you sharing that. And, yeah, now I've had some wonderful experience in this as well. And you know what? Yeah, you know what you're saying? It's very painful, Vidya.
Yeah.
It really is, because it's hard to see you're not perfect, and it's very hard to be vulnerable with yourself. But I have experienced in myself that sitting in that place. Now, I sat in a place for a long time, and it was a very painful experience. But it was an indescribable experience, because you really do, if you sit there long enough, you will see where you're empty. You will see why that plug is there filling you. And is it painful? Absolutely. And it's very shaming. And to say that is a great, it almost sounds, when I hear you say that, it almost sounds like a great reason not to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
But it, you know what, and here's the trick. Now, Paul has said this before, too, and lots of people say this. If you're happy and you're truly happy in your life and you feel that you have control over things, then that's wonderful. Then you manage it how you manage it. The reason why the reason why I've grown through all these things is because my life was a misery beyond misery. It was a living hell. It was a nightmare. And I lived this life of gray. And I had this amazing opportunity at this amazing intersection where I got to experience something I had never known. I got to ride a rocket ship of what I thought was love all the way out into the atmosphere, far above the earth it took me, where it wasn't just fireworks exploding, it was planets. I was there. I had touched something I had never known and I always dreamed about. But then it was gone. It was gone. And here I was, all the way up there, with no parachute and nothing. Nothing to hold on to anymore. And I had the pleasure of falling all the way down. And when you fall from that high, Vijaya, you don't stop when you hit the ground. You just keep going.
Yeah.
And that's what it was like for me.
Wow.
So in that moment when I stopped moving, I realized that I was responsible for everything that I had created. And I got to taste something amazing. But what I got to taste wasn't outside of me. It was an invitation to go inside. It was a doorway. It was a paradox. So your lover can be your heaven or it can be your hell. It all depends on how you choose to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you try to cling to something for your validation and your love and your everything and you cling to it with all your might, you know, that's such a cool thing. And especially when the other thing won't cling to you. It's like anything, a failed opportunity, a failed adventure. My goodness, I've had so many wonderful opportunities. How wonderful it is to be a failure. And I don't mean that in a negative aspect. It's a gift. It's an absolute gift to fail. I wish failure on everyone. Because in it, you find self. You have to. Because if you don't find self, you have to kill yourself. That's how deep the suffering is. But sometimes we just don't have that way out. We can't do it. We have responsibilities that let us escape. So you have no choice. You don't want to be miserable anymore. So I hear what you're saying. But see, for me, it wasn't an option. And I had no choice. It was either that or I wanted to just die. But in the process, oh, my God, was it painful? Did it take forever? Oh, my God. Unspeakable. Unspeakable amount of time it took. But now that it's healed and it has healed, and I don't even need to say it because I don't even need to speak, and it can be felt. It's unbelievable. It's like, you know what? It's like your car gets stuck in a snowbank, and you can't get home. You're 2 miles away. Then you got nothing on but sneakers and a light jacket, and you got to walk all the way home. And that one person says, hey, can I give you a ride? They pass you by. They don't even look at you. You're nothing. And when you get home, you run yourself a hot bath. You peel off your wet clothes, and you get into that hot tub of water. And that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like to heal those pieces. And it's really painful to pull the little stickers off you and unplug all those places that you've stuffed yourself with so you can matter. It is. It stinks. But it's just to the degree you're suffering, you know? And so there's work that has to be done. But again, when people are in a place where, you know, some people are really good, though. Some people are, you know, really happy. Some people are happy being in a relationship with somebody for 50, 60 years. Because, you know, whatever. And that's great. It's only when you're not happy. It's only when you know you're angry and there's an emptiness inside you. You know when there's an emptiness inside you, and you know when there's a wholeness inside you. So it's only when that empty's there that the effort is worth it. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, and I really appreciate you sharing with me about your own process and your encouragement for me to be able to recognize that it's not an easy process. And in the dis-ease of idealism, right, of being perfect, of you know, wanting everything to go a certain way so that it can stay perfect is really quite unrealistic, you know, on a conscious level. But from the perspective that you're sharing, you're saying, you know, just look at your stuff, be willing to look at it, and more than just looking at it, be willing to just be with the uncomfortableness. Is that right? The uncomfortableness of looking at oneself. sitting in one's own compulsions.
Well, that is the present moment.
Yeah.
And because in the present moment, you know what? When you can be in the present moment, you do start to realize that everybody you meet is really you, in a sense. You bring to yourself who you are. And, you know, a lot of times we don't like what we see. We don't like the behavior of another person. We don't like how they make us feel. And so what do? Well, we just hang around people that make us feel good. And we stay away from those people that make us not feel good. but, you know, that's why the being in the present is, listen, this is, being in the present moment is the most dangerous place to be. It truly is, because you're walking a tightrope, and the tightrope has an abyss on either side. And the higher you climb in your consciousness, granted, the higher you stay, the more you stay in the present moment, the more you work on your awareness about your emotions now, not what you're thinking, about what you're feeling. Make it a game. We're all really little kids inside. So make it a game. Open your Cracker Jack box. Get out your decoder ring and your little pad and paper. Put your little hat on and watch yourself. And when you get an emotion, write it down in your little book. This happened today, and here's the emotion I felt. And I'm just a little curious why that makes me feel uncomfortable.
Well, that's really cool. So, in other words, one of the tools that I could do to better help myself then is to be mindful, first of all, of my own emotional state. And secondly, to take a time out sometime during my day and kind of reflect back and identify for myself those points of emotional uncomfortableness and actually do the work there.
Well, that is the beginning process, absolutely.
Okay.
And, you know, it's also a great way, you know, how I shared that I believe that humans really want freedom, and that means freedom to be themselves and express themselves and live the life they want, what feels good in their heart and their soul. Mm-hmm. And when we are stuck in these uncomfortable places that we don't like to be in, because we don't like to feel shameful, and we'd rather deflect and we'd rather distract with money and power and success and a lover here or a lover there, that way we don't have to be present with our patheticness and how we really feel. You know, that's powerful stuff. But it's also important to understand that when we're in that place of uncomfortableness, we react instead of respond. We say things out of programs running in our heads. And that reaction is really our cage that we live in. And as long as we choose to be uncomfortable, we continue to react. And we continue to say things we regret and experience things that we don't learn from. And make the same mistakes again and again and again. Because we're so scared to be uncomfortable. Because that emptiness is so scary on the other side. And it's funny, we get to that place, you know, when we do finally sit, like you said, I sit, and I'm sitting there going, this is not, what's this going to do for me? I'm just sitting here feeling stupid. And how is it ever going to evolve to anything? You know, but you sit there long enough and you stew on it long enough, and don't just stew on it, pick it up and pour it over your head and let it get in your eyes and go in your ears and run in your mouth. I mean, just cover yourself with it. And eventually you get to this place where there's a sign. And when you get down into the darkness deep enough, the sign reads, this is the end of the world. And that's pretty much when you stand at the foot of the trail of yourself. That's where I say there's a basket of machetes there. And you turn and you just see somebody else that's walked it, and all they do is nod. You know, they're not going to tell you what to do. You just pick up a machete and get busy. Go get busy.
Yeah.
Go fight through all your uncomfortableness and your stuff and find yourself. You know, I mean, that's where the journey is. That's where freedom is. But you can, you know, what you said is so powerful. Yeah, nobody wants to be uncomfortable. Well, I'm going to stay in my cage. That's why, don't you love the story about the prison that, I forget the name of the prison, but it had been, these people had been in there almost their whole lives, had been in there 50 years, sleeping with chains on. And they came and liberated the region and opened up the prison and opened all the cages and told the people to leave. And, you know, they wouldn't. They stayed in their cells. They've been in their cells so long. They're so comfortable. They're so happy there. used to it, that the chains put them to sleep at night, and they forced them, and they cut their chains, and they dragged them outside, and in the night, they snuck back in. You know, it's a comfortable place, Vidya. It's a comfortable place to be stuck in your, you know, your uncomfortableness. But then you have to just accept the fact that your life will always be different degrees of misery, and you'll never know bliss because there's only one happy, and that one happy is knowing self and being free of idealistic beliefs and opinions. And, you know, but that's the other major reason why we don't grow too, is the opinions of other people. You know, you fall in love with someone that's another color than you. Oh, no, I can't be that person. No, because what would this person say, and what would that person say, and wow, if I leave my church because I want to believe in myself, wow, what will my parents think? You know, and it's a trap. So it's more comfortable in the cage, and it takes me to another story. And I do love stories, so I hope you don't mind I share another story.
Oh, I love your stories too.
This is such a fun one, and you've probably heard it before. But the story of the old man and the boy and the donkey. So the old man and the boy, they're going to take their donkey to market. So they're walking down this road to market, and they pass these two men on the side of the road. And the old man overhears this one man saying, look at that stupid old man. He's got that fine donkey. And he's walking on a hot day like today. If that was me, I'd be riding that beast into town. Mm-hmm. Well, the old man heard this, so what he did is he put the boy on the donkey, and he sat on the donkey. And there they went off to market. No sooner they come to a couple more people in the road, and the old man overhears them saying, look at those wretched people sitting on the back of that poor creature on such a hot day. How could they do such a thing? That is so cruel. So the old man hears this, and what he does, he gets off the donkey, but he leads the boy on, and there they go off to market. Soon they pass some more people in the road, and what does the old man overhear? But this time, look at that spoiled boy riding that donkey, while that old man is forced to walk on such a hot day. What a brat child. That's just wrong. Well, so the old man takes the boy off the donkey, and he sits on the donkey, and here they go to market, and one more time. They pass a couple people in the road, and what does the old man hear? That wretched old man riding that donkey, and that poor child walking along the road. That is just horrible. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the boy and the man end up arriving into town carrying the donkey on their back. So the whole moral of the story is that you live your whole life. The idealistic mind lives its whole life serving the needs of other people's opinions. So why? So people like you. So you're not an outcast, but what's the sacrifice? So at the end, you end up sacrificing self for it. And when you stay uncomfortable, you know, you heal this stuff. But when you're uncomfortable in your uncomfortableness, it's just your miserable life. You don't realize it until your last few breaths, like, what the hell did I learn? You've got your bank account, your experiences as you're successful, this and that, how many lovers you've had. Well, you know what? When you're dead, you don't take your money with you, and you don't take your success with you. And I don't think too many people even remember the respect they had for you. And none of your lovers is going to climb into the casket with you when you go cold. So the whole experience is for nothing. So your uncomfortableness is a gift, and sit with it, and sit with it, and sit with it, and sit with it, until it reveals the parts of you that are empty so that you can fill them yourself. Because that treasure of allowing, that treasure of being in that present moment, of knowing yourself, nobody ever steals that from you, ever. That goes with you into the next experience, or maybe no experience, or who knows, I don't know, I've never died. I have no idea what the experience is. But I deeply know that when you own that, that it's your treasure. And no one can take that from you. No one can take your conscious awareness from you. And that's certainly worth something, you know?
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, there's a... You make it sound so rich with opportunity. you do. I mean, and I hear the passion in your voice, too. Because it's the voice of someone who's been there, who's experienced that herself. And so it feels, when I hear you speak, it feels very inviting. I can't wait to go sit with my stuff.
Well,
I
you know,
emotional.
But this is why PPS is such a beautiful offering.
Yeah.
You know, this is why I didn't grow myself. I mean, I did. I shouldn't say that. Let me retract those words. Yes, I'm the one responsible for my growth. But, however, which I don't want to mean forget what I just said. You know, I reached out. You know, we cannot be objective with ourselves. We're too emotionally attached, and the idealistic mind is so prideful. For some reason, you know, it's weakness to reach for help. You know, we're taught that early on. Boys don't cry. You know, don't express yourself. You're just being weak, and nobody wants to be weak. But it's so funny, and everybody being so powerful, they're really just weak, because power is in weakness. Power is in surrender. It's a paradox. Everybody has it all backwards. We're all standing on our heads. You know, we celebrate when babies are born, and we cry when people die. We're retarded. I shouldn't use that. I didn't mean that word in a bad way. I meant that our thinking is not right. It's abstract. You know, they make marriage so easy and divorce so hard. It should be the other way around. They should make getting married really hard. Why do you want to do this? You know,
yeah.
Be clear you want to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway.
Well, I'm wondering if you've noticed a difference between men and women in the work that you do with your clients, Chris, when you're working with the individuals. Do you notice that there's a difference between men and women when it comes to letting go and allowing? It would seem to me that it might be easier for females to be more allowing than males, but you might have a different perspective and maybe even different experience with your clients.
As you're speaking, Vidya, and you know, thank you so much for asking me all these questions. I feel so comfortable being on the call with you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate you letting me be myself.
Oh,
and this question
you wanted to be.
This question
that
you're asking me.
Don't be anybody else but you, Chris.
Well, I'm at this point, Vidya. There is no one else.
That's
it.
That's right.
But your question is, baby.
That's all it is.
Yeah. You know, this is a very powerful question, and I'm going to give you my answer. Now, I always like to, you know, my little disclaimer, this is my opinion. It's only my opinion, and a lot of people may not agree with this opinion. So, yeah, what you said, in my opinion, is very intelligent, and I do have to handle men and women differently when they come to me. You would think that a woman would be more receptive to allowing. You would think that. Now, that would be her nature. However, because of idealism and because of the religion has preached love on this planet a long, long time, and there's really not a whole lot of it. And sadly, the woman, in my opinion, has, you know, I believe at one point she was very powerful. I believe she has the ability to do many things and to nurture children and multitask, and she can be very intelligent and much more intuitive, because the woman is grounded in her body. And a man isn't necessarily, because he's more in his mind. He's more the thinker, mathematical, left brain. But a woman has a womb. We're very different creatures. But I believe that because the woman, she's been so suppressed because of her power. She's been told for centuries that she doesn't matter and she's not worth hearing about religion, and her place is in the home, and just, you know, what's for dinner, and did you do this today and that today, and how does she have time to even grow herself when she's managing feeding everybody and caring for children? And so for me, the first thing I need to do when a woman comes to me for growing is I have to help her reach the place where she can embrace how powerful she is. And when that can be accepted, then the allowing is like, oh, my goodness, like, you know, grease in a slide. She's there. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just a little tricky because the woman believes that she's not enough and she needs a man in her life to matter, or she needs something else to be something, that just being a woman is not enough. And I have to bring a point up. And I'm not saying everybody feels that way, and I'm not saying every man treats a woman that way. I don't mean that. That's not my intention. I just mean overall, as a whole, as a humanity, as the herd looks upon women in a sense. I mean, look at how they're displayed. You know, they put unimaginable women on covers of magazines. I mean, women just don't look like that. They're all, you know, a real woman is not like that. They paint her up and put her in outfits and all kinds of things. But isn't it interesting that in nature, it's all the male creatures that have to be beautiful, the peacock and the red cardinal and, you know, the lion and his mane and the stripes here and the this, that. But the female is very plain, because just being female, so beautiful. Just being female. Female is so powerful because she's so grounded in her body, and she's so nurturing and so loving and so capable of giving her own body to nurture another. It's an amazing thing. It, she's been told that she has, you know, two purposes, and that's it. That's what you're good for. And then when you get old, well, you lose that purpose, and well, whatever. You know, go teach Sunday school or something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
And now a man is another, he's just a totally different animal. The trick is to get him, now he, you know, to get him to a place of allowing, he has to, the hardest part I find with men is expressing anger.
Okay.
I find that they can't. They don't know how. It's hard, they just want to justify it. And I in the long run, I think for me, when the woman is empowered, it's much easier. But when she's not, they're both in the same place.
Yeah.
You know, if that makes sense. And that's only my opinion. And I don't mean to, you know, men are, look at all the great men. Now, the great avatars have all been men. They've all been the ones that have paved way for other people. But it's easy for a man to do it because he's only in his mind. He has lots of time to grow and to sit with self and to sit with his uncomfortableness. He has all day to do that. The woman doesn't have that luxury. She's nursing. She has a baby. A mother is a mother. A father's different. You know, in nature, like where I live, you know, we have deer. And I tell you, I've never once seen a buck run out of the woods and ask the doe if she needs any help, you know. It doesn't happen. The mother is just different. It's just a totally different experience. It's not better. And it's not worse. It's just very different. Does that make sense?
It does. And you know, you made a comment, and I respect your perspective, and I have a different perspective. And that's when you said that you think it's easier for men and harder for women, because women hormonal emotion.
Can I finish that thought? May I finish that thought that you bring that up? Because
yeah,
I didn't.
Yeah.
I remember now. I didn't finish
yeah.
it. And thank you so much for that. The reason why it's harder for a woman, in a sense, to grow to that place, is because she's rooted in her body.
Yeah.
It just makes the journey longer. So you have to first go from your body to your mind, and then out into consciousness, in a sense, where the man just has his mind. I just mean that a woman, if the journey is a little harder for her because of that. But for her to reach that place, she becomes more powerful because of her connectedness to the body. But really what keeps her grounded is her children.
Mm-hmm.
Because she doesn't have time to grow herself when she's so busy taking care of the young. And, you know, not for nothing. When you give birth to a human being, it's not like an ibex. It doesn't hit the ground and then 20 minutes of standing up, running around. You know, you know what they say, the first 40 years are the hardest? It's a lot. And that's, again, this is just my opinion. I just really believe that. I just believe it's so much harder for women
to find
that place.
I think it's hard for women because it's like the fish doesn't know that it's swimming in the water. The bird doesn't know that, you know, it's the air, right? And it's the air that gives it lifts on its wing, and so therefore.
Right, and the woman doesn't know how powerful she really is.
Yeah, and so a woman, when she's in her body, she doesn't realize how powerful she is.
Right.
And I think you made some really valuable points through the class also tonight, where you made the point, hey, everyone, take a look at what's happening culturally and societally, you know, that reflect back to us our ideas of ourselves, right? What it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman, what it means to be surrendered or allowing or controlling, or you know, what faculties we use. Men tend to use their minds. The females are really grounded in their bodies.
And their heart.
And their heart,
so.
Too. But one of the things that I've noticed working with my male clients is that it's harder for my male clients to connect more deeply into their emotions than men. And so my female clients, you know, we can work and we can identify, okay, what is the identifying emotion here that you're really stumbling through? Whereas a man, I find they have a harder time identifying what the emotion is that they're actually feeling. And so the compensation is, well, I'll just move right into my mind and try to move through it with my mind. But you were saying earlier in the call that the real key here to allowing is to be able to identify that emotional state and then just sit with that emotion. And I don't see men doing that so easily. They just
no, and again, it's because they're taught.
With their mind.
It's weakness. They're weak. They'll be weak if they'll be like a woman. They'll be soft.
Yeah.
And it's a program. It's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, you know, but you know, there's a lot of anger around not being able to express yourself and feeling shame about it.
Yeah, that's for sure. Whether you're female or male, that is absolutely true. And I can remember growing up how feeling, you know, so consciously, like I didn't have a voice. Like it didn't matter what I said or didn't say.
Right.
I had no voice.
It wasn't important what you had to say.
Exactly.
Because you're just a woman.
Yeah, I was just in this girl body, and it didn't really matter. And you know,
right, you're not important.
And so I can really connect into the shame that you're talking about, of not being okay with myself, and so therefore suppressing those parts of myself that were authentic in order for me to feel like I could fit in.
Or overly expressing those parts by overachieving.
Uh-huh.
And
so
being
perfect. That's another thing that we can look at then, is either
the
underexpression or the overexpression.
Well, and you'll experience both. You have to, because, you know, Buddha was the one that suggested that we live in the extremes.
Mm-hmm.
You never know the middle. You can't learn the art of allowing until you learn the extremes,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that's beautiful. And that, you know what, Paul has always said it. Awareness is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Awareness starts all this stuff. Awareness is simply the process. So that's why I said, you know, start the whole thing out like it's a game and have fun with it.
Mm-hmm.
And don't treat it like it's a chore or a shaming. You know, you're just going to uncover yourself. You're going to make it a hidden picture game.
And see, when you talk about it being a game, see, it makes it sound really fun. Like, wow, the process of self-realization can be really fun. It doesn't have to be dry or boring or
not boring.
It's painful when we approach it from that point of view of, I'm going to have fun. I'm going to play this game here, and I'm going to be smarter than the trickster.
Well, you know, you also have to keep your eye on the prize, because there's a whole lot of reward at the end of the process. It's not like you know, it does feel like, you know, healing these parts, you know, the ego parts of you, you know, they don't want to go anywhere. Familiarity is an addiction. You want everything to be the same, and it, you know, but you have to be willing to exchange a little sacrifice to make your, you know, your misery into at least a wholeness. I mean, I wish there were words to explain what it feels like to be whole and self, to at least be in a place, you know. And then the journey, it's not like the journey's over. It's not over at all. Now you get to experience every moment of your life, and you're in every moment of your life. It's everything has color. You don't have to worry about stopping to smell the roses. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, you know, you wake up in the morning and there's a full moon and there's an owl hooting outside. You're not thinking about what you're going to do that day. You're automatically present with the moon and the owl.
Mm.
And you're already speechless. It's just a happening. And it, you know, actually consciousness becomes like an addiction. When you can taste it, even a little bit of it, that's why it's so awesome to have a great experience. That's why it's so awesome to have something fall apart or to have your heart broken, because you get a taste of what it feels like. Maybe you get your CEO of some company and the next day you get fired. Yeah, but you got to taste what that feels like. Wow, that feels so great. Well, when you find that place of wholeness, that's what it feels like. It's like you eat a full meal. And, you know, but in life, that doesn't satisfy. You have to keep eating it. You have to keep eating it. You feel good when you have sex, but then when you're not having sex, you don't feel good. Oh, God, I have sex again. I have sex again. I have sex again. But, you know, the paradox there is that you keep expelling all your energy. It takes a lot of energy to grow self. So you can't keep expressing the energy and expect to grow self. It's not possible. You have to hold it inside. So that's when you have to start holding your secrets inside. And really, your spiritual experiences should be secret. And every time you hold it inside, and every time you abstain from feeding yourself with an outside need, by needing a compliment, by needing to be successful, by needing to put another certificate on the wall, by every time you abstain from that and hold it inside yourself, that energy builds and it boils and it gets to a point, and it takes time. It does take time and it's uncomfortable, but you know, 1 degree later and bang, you're there, you know? I mean, you know, but a lot of people, too, get stuck in the misery of things. You know, we're all addicted to shame and fear. It feels good. We're comfortable. And some people, you know, they just have so much fun being that way, they don't want to grow.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't imagine they come to the PPS program, or they're the ones that don't finish lesson two.
Well,
but this is all there.
For me tonight, the art of allowing, really, it really is an art. It's a dance that I'm going to invite to honor with myself, and my heart feels really grateful right now. And thank you, Chris, for sharing your passion and sharing your love and showing us that there's freedom on the other side when we're stuck and not happy and feeling that we're a victim of life, that there's this other side of it. And I also really appreciate how you shared tonight how everything is a paradox. Everything is created of polarity. So if we're not ideal, then we're doing something else for ourselves. If we're if we're just adapting to circumstances, then we may not be partnering with ourselves fully to really surrender to the process of life. And so it's an art. So I guess my next question is, and I know that we're over, but my next question would be, you know, how do we discern? You know, that's the art part. How do we discern where we need to engage and where we need to be still? And I guess that's part of Paul's 1-2-3-4 system too, is becoming aware and awake enough to be able to recognize what are the forces that I need to balance right now and what are those choices that I need to make in order to create the most optimal outcome for myself. And if freedom is truly my outcome, then sitting with my emotion is the most efficient way of reaching that outcome.
Well, your words again are very kind, and I really appreciate how you reflect back what I say.
And the opportunity here to remind our listeners that Chris is an excellent resource if you're in the PPS program, Chris is an excellent mentor and for you to work with, especially if you're feeling stuck, especially around lesson number two, wanting to get clear and understand, okay, what are some of my ideas and thoughts and beliefs that I might have about myself that are not allowing me to live authentically and reach that state of freedom and pure potential that I know is my birthright. And
yeah.
So I encourage you to contact Chris at your leisure if you're dealing with any of these kind of life issues or these core issues, and take advantage of her mentoring services, because obviously, Chris, you're someone, you're not only someone, but you're a woman who is so accomplished and sensitive and understanding, and you're somebody who's on that path, has been there, and you are a wonderful light bearer for anyone walking the path as well.
Wow. Well, I really appreciate your experience with me, Vicia. Thank you so much. Do I have an opportunity to just answer that wonderful question you asked me? Yeah, and this is like a what do they say? A tip for along the way, and this is really true. I don't know. I mean, I know this deeply. What you said. How do I know when to work on things, when to be still? And awareness is the beginning. Awareness is a very powerful source of energy. Once we put our attention on anything, when we turn that spotlight back into painful experiences that we can do privately, the moment our awareness touches it, it is instantaneously healed. It's the most amazing experience. So what happens is, the better you get at being aware and watching yourself and experiencing your emotions without reacting, delaying yourself a few seconds and then responding, the better you get at that, the awareness starts to shift into a conscious awareness where now it's starting to happen and you don't have to work at it so much. It's easier to let it to happen. And every time you do it, the energy builds and it gets very powerful. And you get to a place where you are just all of a sudden conscious. It just happens. You can't do anything to make it happen. It just happens. It's just like watching the sun rise. You're not doing anything, but the light is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. So as that grows in you, you don't have to worry about that. That question isn't an issue. You know. You'll know when to act. You'll know when not to act. You'll know when to do something. You don't have to achieve anything anymore. You don't have to worry about where you're going to get your next job. You just have to be consciously aware in the present moment, and the present moment brings it to you. It brings everything to you. And if when the consciousness starts to get even thicker and even better, it starts dropping hints about what's coming. And that eases the anxiety and the worry about, oh, what will tomorrow bring? So, you know, you just have to go after the kingdom in a sense. And Jesus was one person that said, you know, seek first the kingdom of heaven. And after that, all things will be blessed upon you. And that's exactly what he meant. You don't have to worry about anything. You just have to continue being present with the uncomfortableness, and it melts away. And it starts to shift, but it takes time. And, you know, we can't even wait for a microwave hot pocket. I know that's disgusting, but everything has to be But it doesn't work that way. It comes, and it's important, because that place that you're in, that you're uncomfortable, you need to experience it in all of its richness, because if you don't, you will never be able to enjoy feeling comfortable. You have to experience it, because then it's comfortable feels amazing, because you know the difference, you know? So there's no worry about it. Just the awareness itself. The awareness is the key to everything, the key to finding and dissolving parts of yourself, so that you can grow and let the light that is inside you become so powerful that you start to overflow And you can't help but be loving. And you're free because you're yourself and you're doing what you want because you're paying attention to the reality of your own moment. And the idealistic mind will tell you that there is just one reality, and that's get a job, mister. Mm-hmm. And you're this age, you better get married, and you better do that. Well, that's not true because everybody's reality is different. The only time our reality can be the same is if we all watch a building get imploded. You know, wow, do you see that? And you'll ask every single person, they'll tell you something different happened anyway. But, you know, it's our own reality. It's what our life is. It's what we are. It's our vibration. And that consciousness, that awareness brings a vibration into your very being. And the more you stay focused on it and the more you practice it, like you practice working out your muscles, it just happens. And before you know it, it is your vibration. And then in the next moment, you are your being. And it's a dangerous place because then when you become being, all you have to do is go someplace. You don't even have to talk to anybody and people know it. Mm-hmm. And then you know you're not in the herd anymore. And you're not. You mm-hmm. watch everybody else chase their tail. Everyone else sit with their uncomfortableness, but it's not a part of you anymore. And you just kind of begin your own journey in your own life. And is it scary? Yeah. And when you do get to that sign I was telling you about, the sign that says, welcome to the end of the world, if you're brave enough and you can sit with it long enough, you get an opportunity to get to the other side. And then you find out, hey, you know what? There's writing. And when you look at the other side of the sign simply says, you know, welcome to the brand new life. It's mm-hmm. yours. Brand new start. So it's such a paradox that the emptiness we run from. But the emptiness is the emptiness of existence. It's what you are. It's conscious awareness. It's the most powerful force ever. Do you know that consciousness in its extreme can explode a brand new universe? So imagine blowing your consciousness by just moving around trying to be important because of your job or because of how many people you've slept with. Mm-hmm. It's silly, isn't it, when you look at it that way?
Yeah, it is pretty silly that way.
But I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, thank you so much for answering my question because it really is about awareness. It's really about utilizing awareness in a way that is mindful and conscious and self-directed for the purpose of healing, of course, and setting ourselves free from the bondage of material life that's filled with all sorts of distractions and petty little important moments that prevent us from being truly, truly present. Chris, I want to thank you very, very much for tonight's class. I think it was just absolutely phenomenal. I learned a lot, and I know our listeners will also learn quite a bit, and I feel inspired to kind of do a day's review myself before I eat dinner tonight. Thank you very, very much.
Gosh, Vijaya, and I so appreciate you being here with me tonight and hosting me through this. You know, I'm not like a professional speaker or anything. I always get quite nervous when it comes to these things.
You are so authentic, and that's what creates real beauty, is that authenticity. And I feel extremely privileged to know you as my friend and as my co-mentor with the PBS Success Mastery Program.
Wow, that's just so beautiful. I deeply appreciate your words, Vijaya. It means so much. And I also, you know, I miss you guys. I hope I get to see you at some point soon. It's been over a year. I hate when it gets that long, you know.
Last December, and I've been thinking a lot about you, and you know, I was reflecting just the other day about, you know, last year when you were out and, you know, how nice it was to be able to see you and spend some quality time with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, and how much I was anticipating you creating that move out this year.
Yeah, that was fun. Hey, I learned so much.
Anyways,
I wouldn't have been able to talk tonight.
The next time we can actually face-to-face and give each other a real hug, except instead of a hug through the airwaves.
It's coming.
And
my book, If Babies Did Crunches, is in print. It's got all its numbers. You know, the next one coming up is called If Babies Were Buddhas, and that will be coming after. So,
fabulous.
It's already got its ISBN number. And anyway, I do look forward to Paul reviewing my thesis. I do hope that I want to turn that into a book as well, but I'm waiting.
Well, he's getting ready back to work, and it's
I
on
know,
his file,
I,
and you know.
I know. I know he's busy. Anyway, but anyway, I appreciate you being here with me tonight, Vijay. It meant so much, and it was such a pleasure to share. And I also, you know, I appreciate all your feedback, and you know, it helps a lot because you know we can't hear ourselves, and it's never what we say; it's how we're heard. So it was really wonderful to have you reflect back to me how you were hearing me, and it was really helpful. I really appreciate it. It was an absolute pleasure. But
well, thank you, Chris. It's my pleasure, and I think on that point, we'll end the call tonight.
Yep.
And I look forward to your next class, teleclass. Next quarter in 2010.
Okay.
And wishing you a very, very happy new year, and of course all of our listeners as well.
Yeah, thank you, Vijay. You as well.
Thank you. Many blessings, Chris, and I'll talk with you again very soon.
All right, Vijay, thanks. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Okay.
You too.
Bye.
And bye for now.
Bye.